Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together. Hello and welcome to another Shaping Portsmouth podcast with me, Dave Humphreys. And today I am joined by the King and Queen of Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week, Aaron Butson and Becky Miles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
Or for those listening other times of day, good afternoon, good evening.
And good night. Yes, very well. Thank you.
Good. So we're recording this just off the back of a very successful Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week. 23 free to attend events.
23 indeed.
Free to attend events across the city. Loads and loads of people involved. Lots to talk about there. But first, let's find out a little bit about the two of you for people that aren't familiar with who you are. So, Aaron, you are the assistant principal for business employment and skills at Haverland South Downs College.
I am indeed. Yep.
So, what does that entail exactly then?
So I guess I'm more of the outward-facing part of the college. I look after the apprenticeship provision.
Right.
I look after all our adult provisions, so anybody aged 19 years and older that needs to be upskilled or retrained or gain their first ever qualifications. Do an awful lot of work with job centres and other referral agencies to get people closer to and back into work. My team look after all the work experience we need for our students on T-levels and B-techs. Last year we placed 3,500 work experience or industry placements across this region. And I also look after our fledgling, small but beautifully formed international provision where we bring about 60 foreign students over a year to come and join us on, mostly Haven, but a little bit of our Alton campus. Do a bit of A-levels with us, do some A-levels, and just add a real cultural diversity to our campus.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So anyone not familiar with Haven and South Downs, you mentioned a couple of campuses there. So Haven and South Downs is a merger of what was previously South Downs at Waterlooville, Haven, obviously, which make up the name, but also the bit that people might not be familiar with is Alton College as well.
That's right, just north of the county. So, just tips us over that way, just on the sort of outskirts of places like Guildford and Farnborough and Basingstoke. So we're sort of heading around that way. It's a bit of a mixed campus, that one. It's A-levels and vocational training, whereas the South Downs campus is all vocational and the Haven campus is all A-levels and the adult provision. Alton is a hybrid of both.
Yeah.
So, slightly different.
Yeah, and of course, Haven and South Downs College, one of Shaping Portsmouth's fabulous patrons.
For a long time now, very pleased to be part of that.
Been there for quite some time, like pretty much everyone, Ofsted-ed last year, came out of that very well.
Yeah, we got a 2 overall, but personally, I was absolutely delighted. My adult provision got an outstanding, and I do believe we're the only one in Hampshire now that's got an outstanding for adults.
Congratulations for that. Well done.
Yeah, great work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Becky, you are in a completely different educational provider, another fabulous Shaping Portsmouth partner.
Thank you.
And patron at University of Portsmouth, and you are the Research, Innovation and Digital Communications Manager.
That is correct, yes.
Was one job not enough for you?
The actual title's longer than that, but I felt we just didn't have time to squeeze it all in today. But yes, that is what I do. That is, I think, possibly the most exciting job in the world. There's databases, there's spreadsheets, there's stats to look at. I can see here Aaron is shaking his head. And most people would indeed be. There's a lot of data governance, there's information governance. I absolutely love it. I'm never happier than when I'm eyes deep in my beautiful spreadsheets and databases. So,
it did sound like quite an interesting job initially, but you've...
I've dispelled that myth.
Yeah.
And believe you me, I could, as my colleagues will know, I can talk about this for hours and hours and hours. I'm a great cure for insomnia for many of my colleagues, family and friends.
Okay. But so it's great because not only do we deal with you frequently through the Portsmouth and District Business Strategy Group, and the chamber role, but we see you a lot in your university role from shaping side of things as well. So
we do indeed. In fact, you and I are working from, I think, the Business Week. We're working on something rather exciting right
indeed,
now around
yes.
business support. So watch this
Should be
space.
Good. Definitely, yes. definitely. So you're not originally from Portsmouth? Cambridge, I believe.
Yes. So I was born in Cambridge, but we really were up there for, my family happened to be up there for a heartbeat. It looks really good on my passport. But if you ask me anything about Cambridge or the region, I don't really know, because very soon after that, they moved straight back down to Hampshire, where I've been based ever since.
OK. And Aaron, from a Portsmouth family, but not born in Portsmouth.
Nope. So we're definitely a Pompey family, but my dad was in the RAF. Mm. So I was born in Lincoln. I was born in a stately home, actually. Nocton Hall.
Mm. Okay. Not one I've heard of, but yeah.
No, well, it's now so. It was a hospital then.
Right.
So it
okay.
changed.
Don't ruin
roles.
It. I was really... Don't... Lord
so, yeah, we spent a little bit of time travelling around. Got to live in Singapore, but I was too young to remember it. Yeah. Things like that. But I came back to Pompey when I was about 8. So I've been here since then, really. And yeah, very much Pompey family. Very much.
Brilliant. So... Let's get into the crux of the podcast then. And before we talk about Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week and what happened, the week is sort of led by yourselves through Portsmouth and District Business Strategy Group.
Yep.
Which is a subgroup from the Hampshire Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
So tell me about the group. What is the group? What does it do?
Yeah, so there are various strategy groups under the Hampshire Chamber's banner. Southampton, Winchester, Basingstoke, for example, have all got their own strategy groups. I took over the chair of this round about lockdown time. Mike Sellers from Ports of Ports was the chair, and I think Brexit was preoccupying most of his woken
day. Yeah, I can imagine.
That he had to step away, and so I picked it up from there. The group really is about looking at what the business needs are locally. What can we feed back up to Hampshire Chambers that ultimately go to British Chambers and get that voice into government? So the idea of the strategy groups is to find what the local issues are by bringing local businesses in and talking to them. We've actually extended it, though, because it used to be the Portsmouth Strategy Group. And then we brought in the other local governments, local governments, so Havant, Gosport, Fareham. And that's why we've changed the name a little bit to add the district, because whilst they're part of that sort of Pompey family, they are outside of Pompey, and they kind of, I believe, they feel, you know, they should be recognised as being part of the district, but not on the island as such.
Understandably. And this is something you both do as volunteers.
Yeah, so it's a non-exec role. It's we're members of Hampshire Chambers, I think. University are as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's why we're on the group. And it's a non-exec director's role that I've got as the chair. Mm-hmm. We don't get paid, I don't think.
We don't. But actually what I will say is the benefits of improving the region mean that we all benefit.
Yeah.
Businesses benefit, the education sector benefits, the public sector, the public sector, the councils all benefit. So... Yes, it is something that's done very, very voluntarily, but there is definitely, we know it is then ultimately benefiting our businesses, but that's not what drives us. It's more that community piece.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why we're all there.
Yeah, definitely. And so for people not familiar with Hampshire Chamber of Commerce, what do they do?
Yeah, well, they coordinate all these groups.
Yeah.
Ross McNally is the chief exec, so he coordinates all these groups, and he works very much at policy level in terms of what business needs. Businesses of all sizes, so that, you know, they go from startups right through to some fairly large businesses locally and regionally, I guess, with the Hampshire. And then, you know, Ross sits in amongst all those county councils and then feeds that up to the British Chambers of Commerce, which ultimately is a voice into government.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are the representative of business.
Yeah.
And I think many businesses may recognise, they get emails from them quite often saying, can you tell us about how you're faring in quarter one, quarter two? Mm. So that business, they're trying to always capture as broad a business voice as they can to feed that back to help government policy and where that money goes for, for business support, or doesn't go.
Yeah, but there is a direct route into government,
Into government influence.
So, you know, there's a structure to it. It's not just a little Hampshire club or a local one. It's there is a structure there. So to be, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a business and you're thinking, wow, I'd quite like to get involved in a Portsmouth and District Business Strategy Group, that sounds like something I want to be doing, what do you need to do to be involved?
Well, I think if you go onto the Hampshire Chambers website, look at the Portsmouth section, so all of us have got our own little section on there. There's a chance to see what we do when we meet and who else is in the group that meets. We allow non-members to come to a meeting, maybe even two meetings. We might even open the door to you twice. You know?
Twice.
But ideally, we'd like people to join Hampshire Chambers
yep.
if they want to be part of the group. And we're trying really hard to put things into the group now that are of interest to local business. So, for example, we've just had one of our members, Blake Morgan, one of the local law firms, do a big update on employment law.
Yep.
We've got another new member, Assets, doing a discussion on finances at our next meeting where they're talking about the changes to the tax laws and national insurance laws. And wasn't it inheritance they're going to talk about as well? It shocked everybody, your kind of inheritance
stuff. Yes, it was. I mean, everyone's focusing, I think, on the inheritance around farms, but actually he said there's more to it than that, and we're not discussing that other bit because... There needs a big media headlines, but there's some other important issues that need to be looked at as well. The other thing at each of the meetings, of course, we have representatives from the local councils. So they often give an insight into the data they're collecting. There's sort of really invaluable data insights that you're getting at that local council level that can really help businesses.
So, yeah, we've got all of those district councils around Portsmouth. They're not all structured internally identically, but they all within there is someone responsible for economic development who comes along.
Yeah, they tend to be the reps that come to our meeting, the economic development team.
Yeah. And also, I think what's particularly interesting about the business strategy group is that firstly, you two chair it. So you both come from, as we've already established, skills providers.
Yeah.
There's also an awful lot of other skills providers in the room, which I suppose is quite a handy thing to draw that link between what the business community is saying about skills gaps and those skills providers being able to evidence how they're listening to the needs of local businesses and addressing that. And I suppose from your professional role, that's something that's quite relevant anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we've got all three local colleges in the room, and we got the University of Portsmouth, and with the Business Week, we've also bought Solent University. Mm. So we've held meetings in Southampton in one of their campuses to show that we have no such thing as barriers and boundaries.
Not even the Hamble.
But yeah, I mean, okay, we could preoccupy the whole meeting about skills because we've got all the colleges and universities in there. And, you know, businesses, in my experience, don't want to talk about skills endlessly. But it is an issue that they need facing. And, the apprenticeships takes a lot of people's thought up in our sector. But the use of the levy and, you know, access to the levy transfer schemes and all that for the smaller businesses, it's really useful to have some experts in the room to talk to those smaller businesses and tell them how to access it, whilst not allowing the meeting to just focus on skills because I chair it and I come from a skills background. You know, we try to be really fair, really impartial about the topics that we talk about and discuss.
Mm. And I think, I suppose, as an observation of someone who's sort of joined it over the last year and come in, I think it's quite responsive to the needs of the people that are attending. You are quite open to putting new things on the agendas and trying different things depending on what people feedback.
That's good to hear. I think we really do try and do that, actually. Again, particularly listening to some of those business voices in the room and pulling out of them what are the issues. And then not only that, making sure, can we support? And if sometimes we can't, or there's somebody else that's doing something better than us or more comprehensively than us, making sure there's that signposting piece as well. I I think I've touched on before with the University of Portsmouth and with Shaping Portsmouth and Portsmouth City Council, there's a huge need for business support in the region. And part of that piece is to make sure actually we're each filling, there's so much need that we're each filling the need and not stepping on each other's toes and replicating something when actually there's some great conversations to be had about who's doing what so that we're all filling, offering a complete service rather than lots of us all doing the same thing.
Yeah, so I guess that the key message there is for any businesses out there that are thinking, well, I don't think that the chamber really does anything for us, is, well, you kind of need to come to the meetings and say what you want.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's true because, you know, other things that I haven't touched on as well, there's a whole lot of services the Hampshire Chambers give businesses, whether that's paperwork for international trade, legal advice and
health,
and
all, health
and everything. Yeah. That's the other part of the business that we don't really touch on, to be honest.
No,
and
true. There's probably a podcast in itself there with Coral or Ross.
Let's get them down.
Yeah, absolutely. But what the Portsmouth and South Coast Business Strategy Group does do as its showcase piece or event each year, or 23 events,
fair to say.
Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week.
Indeed.
Now, so this is quite interesting because I took over Shaping Portsmouth at a conference sort of just over a year ago. Kind of wheeled me out on stage as they bade farewell to the old fella, and here's the new guy. And I stood there in front of sort of 500 odd people thinking, well, I don't really know very many of you. And then lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week pops up in my diary, and Steve Pitt actually was the one that did a deal that said, all week I'm going to introduce you to anyone and everyone wherever we go, and that's what happened. I kind of met most of the city in a week, so you did me a huge favor a year ago with that. But it was a great week, and this year equally didn't disappoint.
That's lovely to hear. That's what we want to hear.
Another,
thank you. Brilliant.
Another fantastic week. Did you have more events this year?
No, it's about the same, actually. There might even be one fewer than last year, I think. But yeah, it's about the same. It's at 20 plus a year we're running now.
Packed 5 days, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Many of those events. I think it was at least over five of the events sold out.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Sold out, even though they're free.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course.
Now, it's a funny phrase, isn't it? Yeah.
That certainly felt like more than last year. I don't think there were that many that filled up completely, especially so quickly.
No.
I think people are realising it now. It's a sort of become a staple within the business community. They know it's happening once a year, so people are looking out for it. And yes, I'm part of it, so obviously I'm biased. But it is a really fun week, and I think people recognise it as that. They recognise there's going to be this amazing range of events, all doing something a little bit different. So they're looking for it, and they're looking for what events suit them and suit their businesses the best.
Now, obviously, we've spoken about the strategy group, which is very sort of chamber focused. It's centred around the chamber. This isn't so much. This is open to everyone, a lot more inclusive.
Yep.
What's the point of the week, though?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually, Dave. And I think it's difficult to nail down what the point of the week is, because I think it means lots of different things. I mean, there is just the opportunity for pure networking, for example. So you could just get out and get to meet loads of people. But I think it's more about forming that sense of community of the businesses that are local to us. It says Portsmouth and South Coast, but we don't stretch any further than Southampton at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we probably don't go Chichester way. So it probably is Portsmouth is where it starts and Southampton's where it stops at the moment. And we bring in Haven, Gosport, Fareham, all of those run events, and like I say, we just tickled Southampton a little bit this year as well. But it is about forming a sense of community, and I think we haven't got exact numbers yet, but it's circa 1,200 people attended events throughout the week at various different events, whether that was a business expo at Fareham, which is out and out B2B kind of stuff, through to the launch at the Queen's Hotel, which is a bit of a, I hope, a bit of a showcase and a couple of speakers and a chance for the local business people to come together and have a nice Queen's Hotel lunch and a nice chat and a few workshops in the afternoon. You know, they're two very different events. Mm. There's not one single event there. And then running the Mary Rose evening event, which now, you know, it's the second year running we've run that. That one does sell out every year. I mean, probably the most iconic venue to have a straightforward networking event. But it's about bringing people together more than anything, you know. But we have got our four eyes, our invest, our inform, our inspire, and our interact. And all of those are linked about investing in people, but also investing in the local government. The local councils have got money that people can bid for, try and get their hands on, try and claim through small business grants and things like that. So there's investment. There's information right the way through the week. You know, at the launch, we had a guy from the Irish Chambers, one of the Irish Chambers. And I believe there's some conversations taking place now about local businesses getting onto the framework in the Drogheden, I think it's pronounced. So there was information that people have now carried forward already. You know, the inspiration is about inspiring to work locally, but think globally.
Yeah.
You know, do it locally, but look beyond those borders. And of course, interaction is straightforward. Straightforward and networking.
It's interesting, actually, because if you just take the launch event, and I mean, first off, you kind of nailed it with the Queen's Hotel lunch, isn't it? It's just it's a great place to go. Yeah. It's lovely. The sun was belting through the
always does for the week.
Through the windows. The room's always packed. The buffet's always fabulous. Paul and the team down at the Queen's do an absolutely amazing job with the launch there, which is great. Fortunately, all 1,200 people that attended the week didn't come to the launch.
Nope.
That would have been quite problematic, but it's always a packed event. But what was interesting for me was that the three speakers, actually, in that you had Victorious Festival, something really local,
very local.
Yes. Portsmouth-based, very strong footprint in both the community with various community organisations, but also in the business community of the city, and bringing quite a lot of money into the city each year through the festival. We then had the Irish contingent,
Hubert,
and I won't try and pronounce the name of the place again.
Drogheden.
And talking about that sort of kind of partnership. A bit of global trading there and those connections and kind of building some contacts between two places that have got some synergy. And then finally we had the guy from the British Chambers giving kind of that statistical update and talking about some of the key national issues and how they impacted locally. So you kind of covered all the bases from local to national to global.
It's almost like the plan.
I'd like to say that was serendipitous, but actually I think, Aaron, there was a lot of effort into making sure we were showing both operational and strategic, local and national and global. It's an interesting balance there. I'm looking at Aaron because actually you were very good at trying to get a really good breadth of speakers there to present, and I think absolutely nailed it. I would love to see some of those speakers come back next year as well. At least something similar. I think that was a really nice format, and again, people from what I'm hearing from people in the room, people all took something away from at least one of those presenters.
It was a really, really nice range, and actually the one I thought I wouldn't take much from was David from the British Chambers,
and he stole the show then.
And I thought that was really useful, really good update. So
when he sent me his slides, it was Becky's world. It was all spreadsheets and graphs, and I was like, oh my
very
god,
exciting. Yeah. Obviously, it's
but he brought them alive. Yeah. He was excellent. Yeah, really excellent.
Definitely. Mm. And it's good to have that kind of level of input for local businesses. But of course, again, right at the heart of it, those local connections, the networking. I must have left the room with a few new business cards. Yeah.
I think it hit four eyes in one go, the launch, personally. Yeah. You know, I think we inspired people to look abroad, but we also gave them loads of information and loads of interaction, I think.
I quite like the fact that there were the business clinics run by Blake Morgan and Flood as well at the event. So there were those small, separate, more personalised sessions going on with around 10 to 15 round a table where they go out their expertise on certain key issues. They were very popular as well. And possibly something we look to replace, keep, or maybe even grow on again next year.
Well, we're changing it year on year, aren't we? We're listening to feedback. You know, it's, we don't just want people to tell us how brilliant that was. We want people to say, be good if you could.
Yeah.
So like the first year when we actually launched at the Queen's, the first proper year, the first year was online because it was COVID. We launched this event during COVID. So, you know, timing is everything.
Yeah.
Time is everything. But the first year when we did a proper live event and we went to the Queen's, we stopped at lunchtime and the next event was in Portsmouth Guildhall.
Right.
Yeah. And it was almost like you've brought everyone to the Queen's and then you've sent everyone away to go to another venue. So why don't you just stay here all day?
Yeah.
So we try to listen and create. And then, you know, we've heard some people thinking they would have liked to have gone to both workshops in the afternoon, but they're both on at the same time. So we've now got to start thinking next year, well, maybe we need to run those workshops twice, you know, and give people a chance to go to both if they want to go to both, and maybe add a third one as well, you know. So it's not a done deal. It's not like we've got this perfect template. And we, I think... You know, somebody said to me the other day, it's a bit chaotic though, isn't it? And it's, I quite like chaos a little bit, but I also think the chaos is what creates the buzz around it as well.
Absolutely.
You know, because I don't think it's, you know, unplanned chaos.
Is it possible to run 23 events in 1 week without a little bit of chaos?
I think you're right. Yeah.
And the fact it is so many of us, businesses, higher education, councils trying to do our bit means there's always going to be a certain, but it's enthusiastic chaos, it's well-meaning chaos. Everyone's trying to support as best they can. I also think it's right, it has been interesting to get the feedback of what other people would like to see for next year. I know some professional services have been mentioned quite a bit, and how can we support that sector as well. So it's all lots and lots of good food for thought.
And of course none of that happens by accident. You've already had the wash up, I know, because I was there. You are getting feedback, listening to it, and looking at how you can improve it year on year. Now, it would be great to sort of unpack all 23 events and have a discussion about them. That would take us rather a long time. So what were your personal highlights from the week?
I'll just say the wash up shows how much passion there is for the week to continue. Because that was a lively meeting, I think you'll agree. That was a lively, a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
And but good opinions of people wanting to do it better next year. So
definitely.
I think that was it. Highlights for the week, Becky. Have you got a highlight?
Oh, I do. It is the incredibly hard to organise, but I think brilliant idea, and it wasn't even my idea. Open Door, the Open Door bus tour, which is unlike I think any other event I've been to. It is where businesses do just that. Well, there were sort of lots of variations on a theme of this year, but the Open Door session I went on was the bus tour around Portsmouth and up to Waterlooville. So that businesses open the door, invite us in and let us see something of their business that you might not normally see. So for us, the bus tour started at the Keppel's Head Hotel. They put us on a nice breakfast right down on the sort of close to Gun Wharf, the Hard. Mm. Thank you, Aaron. My memory's gone blank there. From there, again, all of those who'd signed up were taken onto a bus provided by Zella Bus, who are one of our business sponsors. Yep. Already there's a lovely sort of feeling of community and camaraderie because you're all coming together, but you're doing a network event that's like any other network event that I think has ever been done. We were taken to TJ Waste and Recycling and shown around their sort of, that's not a factory, I don't even know what it is. It's a sort of amazing site. You've got diggers, JCBs, all sorts of great stuff happening. You're there walking around it in your hard hat and your vest. As this is all going on around you, the waste is being sorted and recycled where it can be. Again, just a huge sort of number of machines, conveyor belts with waste going on it, being sorted into various different bins. I'm going to start talking too much because it was just, I cannot describe the sights, the smells, the sounds, everything we saw there. Very unlike any section of the university I've ever been, which was why it was so exciting. From there, we then went on to Hampshire Flag. Again, amazing business up in Waterlooville, looking at all the work they were doing, machinists. Again, huge sort of factory.
Sewing room is incredible, isn't it?
Yes.
You just you don't know what's there until you go in. And I suppose that's the point of it, isn't it? It's stuff you wouldn't normally see.
Well, that was the ethos of Open Doors, actually. It's not so much about showcasing. That was the original idea. It's not about showcasing successes as such. It's about, on a trading estate, there's a lockup with a beaten up old door. You know, what goes on behind that door?
Yeah.
And some of these places are little gold mines, aren't they? I mean, I always remember a place when I worked in Sussex, and there was a lockup in Bognor that made Formula One cars. Knock up Formula One. You would never have thought as you walk past
Hampshire Flags are a really good example of that because from the outside it just looks like a big industrial unit on an industrial estate in Waterlooville. You go inside and the printing stuff downstairs is just incredible. Excuse me. You go into that sewing room upstairs and, you know, the stuff they're doing in there is amazing.
And then I was going to say, after that we went to Percussion Play in Dunsbury Park. That was lots of fun. I've never seen so many grown adults go and rush to sort of instruments that are designed for children's play parks and start bashing and playing on all those sort of fantastic. Honestly, it was so much fun. They couldn't actually get us into the factory because we were so busy playing on the sort of these brightly coloured xylophones and all sorts of great stuff. So from that there was an Airbus. It really was an amazing day.
Another place that ordinarily you wouldn't get access at all because it's behind security. So really interesting. And for you, Aaron, what was your
I'm just looking at the timetable actually, and I got to about 13 events, I think, so I didn't get to all of them. A couple of highlights for me actually. I think our Across the Solent, getting over to the Isle of Wight this year with Travis Cooper, I think is his name, isn't it?
From White Link.
He and Alison Roach from BNI Hampshire, they put this event on. Last year we tried the Isle of Wight, we didn't get much buy-in, you know, so it was almost like, is it worth trying again? Yep. But Travis saw me at the conference, Shaping Conference. He said, I'll put it on, just let me do it, I'll put it on, and we did it. We had 40 people in the room, you know, we took 20 with us, roughly speaking, about 18 with us. And then about 18, 20 over there. And it was such a brilliant event to bring the two islands together. And now the two chambers are talking, the Isle of Wight Chambers and Hampshire Chambers. And, you know, we're going to do another event in the year where we bring them over to us this time. And just that, I mean, it's not far, is it? It's not like we've gone to Africa and done something. It's literally, you know, most of us could swim it probably, but making it happen is important, and I think that was a real highlight for me.
And actually, with us all about to end up in the same economic development area as it would appear through devolution, those connections become even more important all of a sudden.
So that was really great. But I also, I mean, I love the Mary Rose event. It's such an iconic place, isn't it? And to get in there and network next to that boat is just amazing.
It just seems odd, doesn't it? Stood there with a beer in your hand up on that deck and a little boat full of
beer or champagne, depending on your preference.
Poison. Absolutely. It is a very, very interesting one. I guess it's like asking proud parents to choose between their children, isn't it? Asking you two pick a favourite event.
It is a real time. I mean, the other one, Launch was obviously fantastic. I love the business at the end of Launch. Jane Hardy's Fair and Business Expo. What a vision. Jane, I think, came to that group fairly early on, turned up and said, how about this? And we were like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. And then Jane went, well, I've done it all, and here it is. Yeah. And I think there's something to be said for that. Actually, if you come with something you really want to do, if you've got the drive to then make it work, and that is... to my mind, how the fair
and I feel like she lends that to us actually because she gives that to us for the week, and that's brilliant, I think.
And it's great because you've got those economic development teams from each of the areas all coming in and supporting with different bits.
Yeah,
you've got some different sectors in there in terms of the business, the skills, the cultural. There's the third sector, there's days for everyone in there and little bits and pieces.
I mean, James Moore's idea from Havant Borough Council, the really alternative good. Recruitment event was, again, a really good idea. I'd love to see something
and
like
such
that
good idea
where
that...
they got, it was reverse recruitment, they got people like me and from other organisations to come in and almost be interviewed by the people, by the young people there looking for jobs. Yep. Really nice
and
idea.
And you can see that'll be there next year, but, you know, and we'll grow it for next year because that was such a good idea, I think. And you mentioned the third sector. I think that was important to bring that in. We hadn't really engaged with the charity sector at all up to now. I mean, this was year five. And this first year, we've had a proper moment where we've acknowledged the existence of the charity sector, you know, to put it bluntly. So, again, I think that's something that will grow for next year. That will grow. We, we might have to change it slightly, but we will get more businesses involved in that.
So, in all of those different elements, one of the key bits is the supporters and the sponsors. You've got those, you know, those civic sponsors from the local councils. You've got some event providers in kind, you know, people like the Queen's Hotel doing an amazing job, the Mary Rose Museum, you know, almost gifting you use of the facilities. So, you know, wouldn't happen without any of those. But we've also got the business sponsors, the people that are sticking the hard cash behind it. How important are they to the week happening?
Well, I always remind people it's called the Business Week, you know, so it is about business. So the more engagement with business we can get, the better. So I think it's crucial for me that we continue to encourage as many businesses as possible to support the week. We had six this year, and that was great. That was absolutely great. Six was a good number, but we'd take more if we could.
So it's not a cap on sponsorship.
No, I don't think so. No. We looked at a headline sponsor, and actually all the businesses that were already sponsored said they didn't want a headline sponsor. They'd rather have a community of businesses sponsoring it.
That's probably good because it reflects what the week's about, a community of businesses.
What I will say with our business sponsors is one thing we have been clear about is we wouldn't want to take too much sponsorship from one particular area. We want to keep that breadth of interest, and I think we have done that. So there are a different number of sponsors. I mean, shall I just sort of touch on the six business sponsors we have this year? Were Citrus Faculties Management, were BNI Hampshire, were Blake Morgan, obviously, as we've mentioned, Flood Property Consultants, Liberty HR, and SLR Local Recruit. I'm trying to think, is that all? Is that six?
Was it.
Perfect,
that was
it. So it was those. So it was a really a good spread of businesses. And actually, the other thing is, not only were they fantastic in obviously helping provide some financial sponsorship to pay for the costs, some of the costs of running the event, but actually they then threw their all into it with what they thought would be beneficial to businesses, and also for many of them coming along to us, lots of the events, to actually see what was going on. They did some amazing things. Aaron kept on sort of grabbing them to make them do shout outs. Sometimes they knew about it, sometimes they didn't. The Mary Rose, they were all right, come on now, give us a quick 2-second shout out about what your business does, which I think was fantastic because it was impromptu, it was fun. They loved it. I hope
it's they were good smiling. And I suppose if you want to keep it as 23 free to attend
free
events,
to attend.
You kind of become quite reliant on those businesses that are willing to step in and put some cash behind it.
Yeah, because you quite rightly point out there's a lot of in kind people like the Queen's Hotel and the Mary Rose. There is a lot of in kind. But that doesn't make that event free. You know, we still cover the cost of the hospitality they put on, the lunches, the teas, the coffees. Not everybody can do things for free. And we're not here to try and break businesses. We're here to try and grow businesses and create new businesses. So I think it does take a few quid to run a week.
Yeah.
It definitely does. You know, the bus tour, for example, is great. That's not free, the bus, but we do get a very, very favourable rate to run the bus. Yeah. And we're very appreciative of Sally at Seller Buses for doing that because you really like it.
And I wasn't the only one. I wasn't the only one on that bus tour who it was just blown away by what we're doing within the region.
So I think it's fairly safe to say that the popularity of it and the success of it this year will be back next year.
Yeah, I think we've got preliminary dates put by, haven't we?
Looking forward to next year already. Hopefully lined up again with the Portsmouth News Business Excellence Awards next year, if possible.
We would love
we hope
to
so.
Be always a great pinnacle to the week. Couldn't
it
happen this year, but still looking forward to that nonetheless. But so for next year, those people listening thinking, do you know what, I quite like my business to to get involved as a sponsor,
mm.
what do they need to do?
Well, again, I think go to the Hampshire Chambers website
yep.
and drop them an email. Mm. Make it for the attention of me and Becky.
Yep.
So Aaron Butson or Becky Miles. And we'll chase it up with you. We'll follow it up. We're very proactive about it. It won't just sit in an inbox for ages. We will pick it up and we will run with it.
And it'd be great to see some new businesses coming on next year as sponsors. Yeah. And that was nice this year, seeing a few
new businesses
in there. So,
but interestingly, we've had a couple already say they're going to do it again. Yeah. So they saw the value of it.
Yeah.
So we've had about four so far say that they're going to do it again. So it might have been a bit chaotic in places, and it might have been a busy week, but it was a week that people see real value in because they're coming back for more.
And I think we see the chaos more than other
people. Of course.
Because you're realising that should have done, that should have led to.
And you want it to be
time.
A success, don't you? So you put a lot of effort into it.
You've got the visibility of it that some others haven't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we just see that swan.
That's the goal.
The analogy. So look, we're out of time. Could talk about this for lots more. It was a great week. I certainly enjoyed it, and I know everyone I spoke to did. We've had some good feedback, and as you said, a lot of very passionate views in the wash up session. So people really do care about the week and want to see it being successful. But we always like to finish by asking our guests to make a little recommendation around the city of somewhere to go or something to do. So I'll start with you, Becky. What would be your recommendation for someone coming to the area, what to do or where to go?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, I would... this is a tricky one. I'm not going to go for one place. I think there is so much to do here. So I'm going to say start your morning with a coffee in Hideout Coffee Shop.
Okay.
By just off Winston Churchill Avenue. Oh, there is Southsea Coffee Company as well down in Southsea. I'm torn. Well, either one. Start with a good coffee somewhere. Again, for that, if you're in Hideout Coffee, and then walk to, I know, Victoria Park. I love Victoria Park. There's been a lot of changes happening to it as well recently. There's a lot of redevelopment happening there. It's not one of those massive London parks, but I think it's cozy. It's nice. It's lovely. The flowers are sort of coming out now. The trees are coming into bloom.
I'm not sure anyone's ever mentioned that so far. That's a good one.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, in the summer you get a little ice cream van there as well. Cafes.
Yeah, the cafe in there, Society of St James's. So go in, have something to eat. Help our homeless people.
Absolutely. And then from there, it's not one of the more established walking routes, but from there you can wander down to our glorious, glorious seafront.
Yeah.
You've got, of course, Gunwharf, but you've also got the Hot Wall Studios there along the seafront. And actually that whole, there's no one place I'm going to tell people to go in and eat or do something. That whole gorgeous, gorgeous seafront with the common, behind you is just...
Yeah.
Lends itself to an amazing day.
Nice
out.
Sunny day, that's fantastic,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Or sometimes a really sort of windy, atmospheric, wintry day, so long as you're not being told not to go along there for safety reasons. That can be a good blustery day, is also sometimes just as
clean,
fun.
Clean the cobwebs out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what about you, Aaron? What would be your recommendation?
Yeah, I'm going to take two as well. I'm going to have two things. So I think it's a criminal offence to live here and not get out on the water.
Yeah.
So I think, we have got some amazing water out there. So I'm a member of Tudor Sailing Club on the Eastern Road.
Okay.
Yeah. Right next door to the Portsmouth Outdoor Centre.
Yeah.
Come down and have a look at the Tudor Sailing Club and see if you want to get involved with a community-led sailing club.
Yeah.
Or go into the Portsmouth Outdoor Centre and get some tuition, some sailing tuition, kayaking what's the board you stand up on? The name's
paddle
called paddle boards. Yeah. I've never done that myself. I'd much rather sit down in a kayak. But there we go.
Mm.
So I think get out on the water is number one for me because it's a must have. And then I'm going to go just outside the city. I live just outside the city.
Mm.
James Moore and his team are doing a load of work in Waterlooville. They're trying to revamp that area.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of really nice bars there now. We've got the number 73,
which
is me and my wife went there Friday night. Really nice there for a couple of drinks, bit of tapas.
Is that on the precinct?
Just at the bottom of it, what used to be the Wellington. And of course, one of the old banks is now the Exchange, which is. I'm going to confess, I've not been in there yet, but I couldn't book for Friday night. But I looked in with envy; it was packed solid, and I'm hearing really glowing reports about it.
I went in there a couple of Saturdays ago to see if I could get a little brunch. And it was book solid. Couldn't get in on a Saturday morning. That's good, isn't it? Which is great. It's great to see new stuff opening up and doing well. I just hope that that sustains.
And that's the work the economic development teams do. That's what they're doing.
The team are doing a great job with the help of some of the developers that are working on different bits of it, of completely revamping that whole precinct area up there in Waterloo. Yeah. It's really interesting to see what's going on. So hopefully we'll see a great improvement.
Well, I think we already are. Yeah, definitely.
So some great recommendations there. Brilliant. Thanks for those. Congratulations on a superb Portsmouth and South Coast Business Week.
Thank you, but you were part of it. Well done
for all the hard work that you put into it and for pulling it off yet again. And we'll look forward to the same again.
February 21st, 2026.
We'll get that in the calendars now. Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space.